As many of you have heard in the news, Mark Zuckerberg spent parts of 2 days, probably not fun days, but parts of 2 days in front of Congress. He answered questions and defended his company, Facebook. I spent some time reading the comments and also the strange and varied questions that Congress had for him. If you're not into IT or have any interest in Facebook, you may have found the news coverage of these congressional hearings very boring. I'm into IT and I found parts of them very boring myself. But one quote caught my interest. Quote, "It's not enough to just connect people. We have to make sure those connections are positive," Mr. Zuckerberg said in one of his more impassioned moments. Quote, "It's not enough to just give people a voice. We have to make sure people aren't using it to hurt people or spread misinformation." So there you have it. Something none of us knew before this week. Facebook and social media has some misinformation. And what truth it has, it mines and sells to companies that have a problem with securing that true information. A bunch of that data, as you may know, was stolen and misused recently. It's a mess. To make the situation messier, Congress thinks it can regulate this flow of misinformation. Congress, that's a misinformation factory, isn't it? It's a fox watching the hen house, perhaps. I'm not here to say if certain websites need regulation or who is best to regulate them. Yet Congress feels that maybe some of this misinformation may have affected the last election and may affect the next election. All this mess, in my opinion, boils down to a four-letter word spelled lies, L-I-E-S. Misinformation is a nice way of saying lies. Again, like any media, there is good information and there is also some misinformation. We have lies on one hand, very, very common in the world, and truth on the other hand, the Bible speaks of it. Put in your notes, I'll read to you Ephesians 4 and verse 25. The Contemporary English Version translates this verse, "Do not tell lies about others." Paul also admonished, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth about your neighbor." It's Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Let's spend a bit of time thinking about truth, determine how truthful we are to those around us, how truthful we are to ourselves, and see how to resist the world's trend of dishonesty and misinformation. I want to determine if the truth is found in us. The title of the message is the truth found in you? The Apostle Paul stated that an essential trait of the Creator God is that He always tells the truth. He cannot lie. Wouldn't it be great if that was said about us? During the recent holy days, we learned that we are to imitate Christ. Let's turn over to Titus 1 and verse 2. Give some scriptural backup to that statement. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began." This is key, I believe. If we are known for the truth, we give confidence. Seems simple and basic, but yet it is amazing. The truth gives us confidence that they have eternal life. If we always tell the truth, people, of course, would be confident in our word. I think at times we think it doesn't really matter if we bend the truth a bit or stretch it. It's something that I work on myself. I'm constantly trying to stand by my word. In life, it is very important. People remember and have much better memories than we realize. If we say something in passing and then we do something different, we're lying. My family and I spent some time on an island called St. Lucia recently. It's a decent-sized island. 200,000 people live on the island. While on the island, a lady was tragically killed in a minibus accident. Not too many accidents happen on the island, so it was rare, or I'll say it this way, serious accidents are rare on the island. We were absolutely amazed that everyone on the island seemed to know her. You see, she had a small bakery and a shop down near the coast on the east side, down near a village called Dennery. She was one that baked in the traditional style, and thousands of people on the island seemed to know her. In fact, everyone seemed to know her. She had a good reputation. You're familiar with the saying, your reputation precedes you. In this case, we were simply amazed that almost everyone we talked to knew this lady, knew her family, and knew her reputation. Likewise in life, even without a tragedy like this, do not forget that people know you. Your impact, or you impact many more people than you think, and you impact them in a larger way than you realize. Do people know you for how much you share on social media? Or maybe how much you talk about others at church? Or maybe how much you talk in general? Or do they know you on how you are diplomatic? How you measure your words? How you are honest? Or maybe if you're kind? Or how well you always speak the truth in love? Even when someone is in the wrong and is irritating to you, what do you do? Do you call them out? Or are you truthful, but yet kind and forgiving? You see, this truth and honesty concept is far-reaching. Proverbs says, a kind word turns away wrath. It's understood that those kind words are also truthful words. Few things are more upsetting than to find someone was kind and lied to your face. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 10 and verse 6. Again, having this truthfulness is something to work on. 2 Chronicles 10 verses 6 through 8. We're breaking in the story about King Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles 10 verse 6. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. So he went to his father's advisors and says, how do you advise that I answer these people? Again, 2 Chronicles 10 and verse 6. How do you advise me to answer these people? Verse 7. And they spoke to him saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. I feel this scripture encourages us to not only seek wise counsel, but also speak kind and pleasantly to people in truth. That should be our goal. Hearing about this lady in St. Lucia was encouragement to me to be a positive example and let my calling influence others in my behavior, in my speech. Our truthful, kind, positive speech is perhaps the biggest way we can do this. Our first point today is to determine how truthful we are to those around us. Determine how truthful we are to those around us. I had 7 points, but I'm only going to give you 3 or 4. Little jab to Mr. Winter. Give him a hard time. Again, our first point is determine how truthful we are to those around us. Wouldn't it be nice if it was impossible for us to lie? Again, we know from the Bible that it's impossible for God to lie. Put in your notes, Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says that as well. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. What would our relationship with God be like if we thought he was a liar? How could we have faith or trust in him? Being a truth teller must be part of our quest to become perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. Let's turn over quickly to Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48 should be our goals or our goal. Must be forefront in our minds, Matthew 5 and verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Again, if we want to be perfect or work towards that goal, we've got to determine and work on how truthful we are. Hopefully we're still working on the sins we found in the pre-Passover examination process. I enjoyed Vince Winter's comments on that. Again, the spring holidays or the Passover season is behind us. But hopefully we're still taking what we found, working on it, taking the time and continuing to improve so that we're in a better place as the months and the year goes by. To grow, we have to keep this scripture in our mind. Don't let all the self-examination time and effort be a waste. Keep working on ourselves as I am working on myself to become more Christ-like and more perfect. Even in stressful and difficult times, truth should shine through. Let's turn to one more scripture before we move on. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So our goal should be speaking in truth so that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Again, I've talked about growing up, something that we tell our kids often. Grow up, something I tell myself often. It's time to grow up. I want to talk about how truthful we are to those around us. Again, I started with that point because we can only work on ourselves. We cannot change the world. We can't change Facebook. We can't change this or that. We can't change our spouse. We can only work on ourselves. Let's now talk about how truthful we are to ourselves. Again, those around us is important, but how truthful we are to ourselves. The world, of course, is full of lies. It's a strong proclivity and habit of lying constantly, and those lies can influence us. I recently played a game called Fibbers. I could be slightly wrong on that name. If I am, I'm protecting the innocent. It's an electronic game that you play on your smartphone with 3 to 7 others in the room, and everyone tells a lie, and you try to hone your skills so that others will believe your lie. You get more points if others believe your lie. I think Boulder Dash is similar to this if you haven't played another game. Well, I'm happy to say I was terrible at the game. But it made me think, do I want to be good at this game? There are worse games out there and perhaps better games out there. But it drove home the point as I was working on this message that lies and the art form of effectively lying is embedded all around us. In fact, we do it for entertainment. Even those of us that try to be honest and truthful, we oftentimes are not. Or even if we think so or the world thinks so, God doesn't think so. Again, my fear with myself is if I get good at telling lies, will I be able to tell the difference myself? How truthful am I to me? Let's turn over to 1 John 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So point number two is, are we truthful to ourselves? The days of unleavened bread were all about being truthful with ourselves. Let's continue on in that. Of course, God wants this for us. Let's turn over to Psalms 15 and verse 1 and 2. It's intriguing to me. The title in my Bible in Psalms 15 and verse 1 says, "The character of those who may dwell with the Lord." I don't know if that catches your interest or not. Psalms chapter 15 and verses 1 through 2, I'll read it in the New King James Version. Psalms chapter 15, starting in verse 1, says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" Verse 2 answers that question, or those two questions. "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." So those who will eventually be part of God's family will be those who have learned to speak the truth from their heart. No wonder John wrote in 3 John 1 verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth." Put in your notes 3 John 1 and verse 4. Let's also turn over and see what Paul wrote. He wrote something similar in 1 Corinthians 13:6. First Corinthians chapter 13. We'll actually start reading in verse 4. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Nor does it behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil and does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth." I feel this is referring to us being totally truthful. Truthful with others, being truthful with ourselves, and enjoying the knowledge of God being truthful with us. As I begin to transition from reminding us to be truthful with ourselves and being mindful of the lies that are prevalent around us, I want to share with you some labeling on my shampoo bottle. It's one of the first things I see every morning. Strange, I know. I wake up, I have a small niche, and I put my shaver and my shampoo there. My shampoo's a big red bottle. Again, I've been thinking about this message this week and the fact that lies are all around us. I'm convinced that it's a trap that Satan sets for us. Satan surrounds us with partial truths, half-truths, misinformation that we become accustomed to, and it influences us by lies. We don't even realize it. Talking about false advertising and flat-out lies, even my shampoo bottle has been lying to me. It's been lying to me every morning for the last 3 months. I've been using this for 3 months. What do you think, truth or lie? The price tag on the back says $26.79. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's kind of expensive. It's not very cheap, but I thought I'd try it. In fact, it's downright expensive for as much as it's been lying to me. You see, lies are all around us. Point number 3 is, are we aware of the lies around us? I put this as a third point as we have less control of it. I think it's wise to be aware of the lies around us. Advertising is one area. Again, there's a lot of deceit. We kind of become accustomed to it. We can overlook it. Before I give you a number of examples, and examples I'm sure you can relate to, and you have your own stories I'm sure that you could share, I want to show you the defense the Bible offers us. Turn our Bibles to Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Let's see what Paul said that we can do to protect ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Ephesians 6 and verse 14, Paul said that we should wrap ourselves in something. Wrapping ourselves in truth protects us spiritually in the way that wrapping a wide belt covers our midsection. Again, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. So in other words, if we wrap a wide belt around, it protects our internal organs. And what do we wrap, or what do we protect ourselves with? We protect ourselves with the truth. If we focus on what's really true, we focus and try to be truthful ourselves, we will be protected. So in other words, if we're surrounding ourselves by truth, we can be protected from misinformation, protected from the lies that are around us. We need to be aware of the flat-out lies that encourage and try to persuade us to do this or that. Those actions may be aligned with God's laws, and they may be aligned with something totally different. Some are flat-out lies that influence us to perform certain actions. While I was working on the message this last Wednesday morning, I was at my computer reading and meditating and thinking about my message. I received an email. It came up, and I keep Outlook open, and new emails come up. You can't read it from there, but I'll read you the heading on it. It's from Mark Zuckerberg. How about that? His email address is hello@campusprotein.com. Sent Wednesday, April 11th to Jerry Rehor. Subject says, update your account. Mark Zuckerberg's telling me I need to update my account. So I went ahead and opened it. Broke from my train of thought. And it's an advertisement for grass-fed native whey. They're offering me grass-fed native whey for, well, bodybuilding. I appreciate that they know and they clearly see that I am a bodybuilder. I'm a bodybuilder with big sexy hair. They may or may not know that I eat this already every day. I buy it every week. But why lie to me? Why say this is from Mark Zuckerberg and say you need to update your account? Why spoof someone else's name in the from line and try to get me to open the email? Well, I know why, and it worked. I tried to update my account. I did what as I told. I was told to update my account. I opened the email, and I realized that I've simply been lied to. They want me to keep up my protein intake. They want me to maintain my ripped abs. They want me to use their product, even though I've done so in the past, and I've never heard of their company, nor am I college age. I can't see my abs. Now that they've lied to me, I'm never going to use their products, and I'll probably never see my abs again. By analyzing it, though, by analyzing it thoroughly, I don't want to support them or fall into their lies. What else is like this? What about the world's holidays? We just had Easter. It's a celebration of Christ's death, supposedly. But as you know, it is one lie after another. I like cute bunnies. I like eggs. And you know I like chocolate a lot. So there's a lot to like about it. But when it's based on lies and it's surrounded with misinformation, I no longer like it. Feel free, parents, as you're teaching your kids, as the Bible says, call a spade and tell them that lies are found in many holidays. Tell them this is why we don't celebrate this. It is based on a lie. Remember, Satan is where lies and misinformation and dishonesty derive from. Satan, of course, is the father of lies. Father of lies. Jesus Christ explained this to those who were justifying themselves and sneering at him. Let's turn over to John 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44 talks about Satan. John 8, 44 says, you are of your father the devil. Pretty strong words. You are of the desires of your father, John 8, verse 44. The desires of the father is what you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. He speaks it from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Brethren, be careful with your speech. Speak the truth, as we do not want this to be said of you. I don't want it to be said of me. When we think first and we speak the truth, we are of our godly Father. When we lie, or even we speak too fast and don't think enough, we can be of Satan. In fact, the first recorded lie was when Satan, through the serpent, told Eve that God's lying. Do you remember that? Let's turn over to Genesis 3 and verse 4. It's the first recorded lie. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. Quote, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God lied to you, for he knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be just like him. You will know good from evil. So it's a diabolical act of deception, lying by calling our totally trustworthy God a liar. Again, I bring all this to you to make sure that we are not doing similarly in any shape or form. There is so much around us that we can start believing it is okay. It's not okay in God's eyes. A few of us were talking last night and the subject of being late came up. For those of you that know me, know that I'm always trying to work on being more timely. In other words, I'm late on occasion. There's on time, and then there's Caribbean time, and then there's Jerry time. Somebody in this room coined that phrase. I don't appreciate it, but I resemble it. I've improved, but I still have ways to work on. You see, I preach and I encourage myself as much as I encourage you. Every time we tell somebody that we will be there at 2 o'clock and we show up at 2:20, we are in a sense lying. Nope. We are lying. We said we'd be there at 2 o'clock, and we didn't. We lied. Ever thought of it that way? Again, there's always extenuating circumstances. But the point I'm trying to drive home is that there is more to this ninth commandment than meets the eye. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God wants, you'll see, for us to follow his example and live a life full of keeping our promises. Said differently, he wants us to be truthful. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Keeping our word or telling the truth is us following his example of not being slack, as Peter calls it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that we should perish, but yet we should all come to repentance. So we're reminded here that God gives us an example. He will not be late, he will not forget, he will not renege on his word, and we are to do likewise. Thankfully, he's merciful and he's patient and he's forgiving while we grow and improve in our obedience of the ninth commandment. As I begin to close, I wish to point out one more thing. This concept of lying and misinformation versus honesty and truth is something so important to God that he has based his terminology around the word truth. Perhaps God knew that there was going to be a being that would try to muddy the waters so much and lie so much that he wanted to be diametrically opposite and focus his way of life, or focus his way, or his name, his whole being, on the way of truth. Let's turn over to John 14, verse 6. We see Christ uses the word truth as his own nickname, as it were. John 14, verse 6, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. So very important to him. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So it's so important to him that the whole concept is embodied in Christ and God the Father. You see, the truth is him and comes from him. Let me read to you Ephesians 4 and verse 21. The New Living Translation says in Ephesians 4 and verse 21, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Have you ever thought of this dual meaning of the word truth, its similarities? Doing a word study, you will find in the Bible discussion about, of course, lies and truth. Then you'll also find what God calls his truth. They are separate concepts, but yet one and the same. As we conclude, let's read John 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, quote, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. John 8, verse 31, 32. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth freed the disciples from deception. It freed the disciples from errors. It freed them from heresies. Speaking the truth, brethren, being called by the truth, and walking in the truth are indeed our goals, so that we can be aware of the current day's deceptions, our current misinformation, and the heresies in the world around us. Work with me as we let the truth be found in us.